Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Either way, we're glad you're here. We don't care where you are. We don't care how you're listening. We don't care when you're listening. We're just glad you're here. I'm glad Rick Pinion's here, too, because Rick's a longtime member of our Brain Trust and a great friend of ours and been a great supporter of all the things that we do with his time and his effort and his information. And he's given us so much great information over the years about financial planning. And he's our good friend. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thanks for the lovely introduction. It's nice to be back on here.
It's good to have you back, and you deserve it. And I want you to know that the effort that you make to help us be a little smarter and a little more effective with our financial planning is not lost on us, and we really appreciate it. Rick, and folks, I like to invite Rick on the show for a lot of reasons, but one of them is because he does a little song and dance at the beginning, and I don't mean to demean it at all, but it's something that points out that there are two worlds out there in the marketplace. One is the regular marketplace, which is the caveat emptor marketplace, let the buyer beware. And then there's the other side of the marketplace, which is the security side, and that's the full disclosure side. And with that in mind, Rick, you have something to say.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to the early morning listeners this morning just to remind them that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through SunAmerica Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and as with any investment vehicle, past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investors should be aware that there are risks inherent in all investments, such as fluctuation in investment principal. Thank you very much for listening.
All right. We love it when he talks security stuff, don't we, folks? And and by the way, there will be a test on all the things that Rick just said, but you'll be glad. It's the bad news. The good news is it'll be multiple choice, so you don't have to sweat that too much. So I know all of you took all that down and have all that memorized. Okay, Rick. We're going to talk about insurance today as part of our financial planning, one of the important components of our financial plan.
Right. As a matter of fact, you know, it's been a long time since we talked about life insurance products.
Right.
And we're bombarded these days with lots of commercials about insurance. And yet I have found the majority of people have questions about the different types of insurance because the information that you get through the media where they're advertising, you know, like term insurance on the radio or TV,
right?
Many times it doesn't tell the whole story. It just they give out a sound bite.
Well, they've only got 30 seconds, Rick. Give them a break.
30 seconds for a lifetime.
That's 30 seconds to explain something that can't be covered in hours. But, you know, Rick, I was telling the audience earlier in the hour before you got here, how products have changed. Life insurance products have changed over the last years. When you and I were pups, there were basically two kinds of policies you could buy. You could buy term and different kinds of term, but you could, in terms of 5-year, 10-year, whatever, but basically term insurance and whole life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there was participating and not participating, but now there's a whole array of different kinds of life insurance products, aren't there?
Yeah, there's probably about five basic types, and most people are unaware of some of the more advanced types, but you're right, Jim. It boiled down to either term insurance or what we call permanent or perm insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the two that people grew up with.
Or whole life. Sometimes they called it whole life.
Yeah. Permanent insurance is another name for whole life insurance.
And term and whole life, those terms, so to speak, no pun intended, were really very intuitive, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They were very instructive in the words themselves.
Yeah, when we think of term insurance, we think of a specific purpose for a specific length of time, and normally we think of younger buyers because term insurance is quite good for people on a modest budget, especially mm-hmm. just starting out.
It's the best value for in terms of just death benefit, right?
Yeah, of course. If you look at a balanced approach, it's low cost. It provides a specific coverage for, let's say, a mortgage or, say, a business purpose. But unfortunately, over time, it's like renting an apartment. Over time,
right.
the rates start to rise. So eventually it becomes cost prohibitive.
Well, the two things we know about term insurance is that it will run out at some point, and the insurance company will not make it available to the owner. And also, the cost goes up every time it renews because of the age of the owner, right?
Right. So therefore, those
people... Of the insured, I should say.
Yes, yes. And so for those people out there that are listening that have term insurance, I would encourage them to contact their insurance professional to see if they might be able to convert that plan to a permanent plan where they don't have to worry about the rates going up all the time.
Or at least be aware of a plan to convert it. You know,
right.
Now, if today's not the right day to do it, maybe we need to be thinking, okay, in 2 years we're going to do that. Whatever, it's just not to be wandering around out there in the weeds. Make sure you got a plan for that. It's 22. We'll be right back with our good friend Rick Pinion after these messages.
After you've had it, baby, you're in an awful fix.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Rick Pinion is our guest. He's president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services out of the Washington, D.C. area, based in Maryland there, joining our nation's capital. Rick's been a member of our Brain Trust for a long time, a good friend. Rick, we're talking about life insurance, but before we go any further, I'd like for you to give us your website, please.
Okay. The website is www.pinionfinancial. Pinion Financial, by the way, is one word, and Pinion's easy to remember. It's like opinion without the O. www.pinionfinancial.com.
Right.
And when you go there, you'll find all sorts of materials relating to financial planning and insurance.
A lot of free stuff there, huh?
A lot of calculators, educational calculators, and retirement calculators. So you might want to navigate the website, if you please.
I think you'll benefit from it, folks, and bookmark it so you can go back and find some of those calculators. Rick's organization does a great job. How long have you been in business now, Rick?
Well, let's see. I started in the industry in 1973.
Rick, this wasn't supposed to be a hard question.
So it's been over 30 years.
Over 30 years.
Of course, the type of business has changed radically over that period of time.
Right. Well, folks, Rick knows what he's talking about, and I encourage you, to avail yourself of his company services if you have the chance. Rick, let's talk about we were talking about term insurance, and it's the cheapest. It is for a period of time. It used to be that you couldn't get term insurance beyond 65 years. Has that changed?
Yeah, now companies are offering, much older ages term insurance. Of course, the price reflects that.
Right.
And you get to the point where you reach the point of what we call indifference between term insurance and permanent insurance, when the rates are going to be very, very similar.
Right.
So you reach a break-even point probably sometime in your late 50s or 60s when the price is going to be the same between the two products.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the duration of the term is going to be much shorter for the older ages. So for
right.
a person like in their 60s, they're lucky if they can get a 5-year locked-in term.
Right.
It's funny. It's almost like a mortgage, isn't it?
Yeah.
People try to lock in their mortgage rates.
Mm-hmm.
Term insurance, they're trying to lock in both their insurability plus the finite time period that they want to insure.
Right. All right, let's talk about some of the other types of insurance. What about the universal? That's one of the newer ones, isn't it?
Yeah. It's funny. When I hear the word universal life, I hear in my mind the word flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like an unbundled product where you have flexible premium payments, you have an adjustable death benefit, and the cash values are sensitive to current interest rates. Most of the universal life contracts pay what we call a current interest rate, which is pretty competitive compared to some of the things out there like CDs and banks and things of that nature. They're available in what we call the money market realm.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that people look at when they start comparing interest rates on their investments. Now, of course, the universal life cash values build up tax deferred. So whatever interest rate that you're getting, you're able to keep it because you don't have to pay it out in taxes.
Mm-hmm. Now, universal was kind of an attempt to give a lot more flexibility and to make it a little bit easier, I think, for people to convert from term to a more permanent type of insurance. And so it was created as a sort of a replacement to permanent insurance, wasn't it?
Yeah, and unfortunately,
the old fashioned whole life insurance.
Yeah, and do you remember, Jim? It came out in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what interest rates were doing in the 70s?
Oh yeah, they were.
Back Jimmy Carter was.
High.
Yeah, so what happened was all these agents were running around showing these people these hypothetical illustrations,
right,
illustrating very high interest rates. And unfortunately, the interest rates fell, and that hurt some of the credibility with the universal life products.
Right. Well, what would you say is the ratio of whole life, typical whole life, either par or non-par, participating or not participating, and universal insurance? What would you say the ratio is that you sell?
I would say probably it's maybe 2 to 3 to 1.
Universal instead of permanent.
Yeah.
And when I say permanent as an alternative, folks, I don't mean that universal is not permanent. It's just that's the name of the original kind of whole life insurance.
Yeah, and the reason for that is universal life is a little bit less expensive. You can actually get more coverage. But the difference you have to remember is that universal life also doesn't have the guarantees that the permanent insurance has. So from an educated consumer point of view, it's very important to look at both the advantages and the disadvantages of any product.
It doesn't have the build-up, the insurance. For example, a whole life policy might be paying 6%, but it guarantees 4%, let's say.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Whereas universal doesn't have guarantees?
It does, but it's very, very much lower.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, with the universal life contract, they can raise the mortality charges. They have what they call a current or a non-guaranteed mortality charge.
Right.
And they also have guaranteed mortality charges. So, for example, if some plague were to hit the United States and they raised the mortality rates.
They were concerned about that with the AIDS epidemic, weren't they?
Yeah.
Back in the 80s.
So the actuaries have figured out a way to build in some fudge factor here.
Well, it sounds complicated. But it really isn't, folks. And the thing is, the universal policy really did meet a lot of needs, didn't it?
Yeah, it was almost like buying term and investing a difference with the universal life contract.
Right, right. Rick, what about, we got 30 seconds. You want to introduce some of the newer forms of insurance, of life insurance?
Let's see, there's a couple that the listeners might want to think about. One is the variable life contract, which is similar to universal life policy, except that the underlying cash values are invested in an equity portfolio, typically like mutual funds.
As opposed to just like a CD or something.
Yeah, like a money market or CD.
Right.
And, of course, the other type of contract is called an interest-sensitive whole life, which is a hybrid between a permanent universal life.
When we come back, I want you to tell us what would be the use of those. And, you know, why would we choose one of those rather than just a term policy? We're going to do that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Rick Pinion. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Mr. Mark Knopfler with Dire Straits. By the way, all of you folks listening in Colorado, I think he's going to be is it Red Mountain? I think that's where he's going to be in July. I think one date. And his tickets went on sale this weekend. So you might want to check that out. That's going to be a pretty cool event out there if you like Mark Knopfler, and I do. Rick Pinion is our guest. We're talking about insurance as part of our financial plan. Rick is the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services. Rick, give us that website one more time.
Okay, the website, in case you'd like to navigate the website, is www.pinionfinancial. Pinion Financial is one word, easy to remember. It's like opinion without the O, as I mentioned earlier.
Right.
It's pinionfinancial.com. And if you'd like to go there, you can navigate the website. You can look at all the different calculators and information we have.
Don't you have a health insurance policy? I mean, health insurance website as well?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I don't use it that much, so I can't give you the call letters, but it's under another subsidiary we have called A-1040 Insurance.
Okay, well, we don't want to know that way. All right, I was thinking you used to use that one pretty much. Rick, one of the things that I wanted to get across to folks about the life insurance is not that we wanted to make them experts on all the different kinds. I think you have done a great job of orienting us around the different things that they're used for. But hopefully we give them a little bit of an idea of how insurance policies are being developed into products that some are very simple, very, very unsophisticated, and some are highly sophisticated. And the point to make here is that whenever you're developing your business plan, your succession strategy, you're trying to provide for your family in the event of your death, the good news is there are lots of different policies out there, lots of different products, insurance, life insurance products out there, and you just need to find a professional who can help you pick out the right one.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes we get so caught up in all the nuances and the technicalities of the insurance, we kind of forget what the ultimate purpose is, which is to cover a loss. And the loss could either be a family member, it could be a business owner, it could be something to provide for retirement. There's so many different uses of insurance. It seems like, I think insurance is going to be around forever. As long as human beings are going to die at a certain point in their lives, we're going to need insurance to cover that loss. And especially a professional that spends so much time in their education and they want their family to benefit in case their life is cut short, insurance provides a very, very suitable, you know, remedy for that.
Well, absolutely. But give us an idea on some of these newer policies, how they would be used. What would be, for example, give us an example of one of the brand new type of policies.
Well, let's see.
We like variable life insurance. Have you talked about that much? I'm trying to remember.
Well, we have the variable life where people like to build up equity inside their policy.
Right.
They like to use it for retirement or perhaps to for a key person policy. Where
education? Could you use it for education purposes?
Do it for education. You could set it up as a first to die policy where you have two people covered under the same plan.
That's really where it's handy, where these kinds of policies are handy for small businesses when there are co-owners, isn't it?
Yeah, if we have multiple people insured under the same policy.
It's the basically, you can have them, Rick, correct me if I'm wrong, where you got one policy and it works for whoever dies first.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, we call those riders or amendments where we can add different people onto the basic policy. And whoever.
Rather than having a separate policy on everybody.
Yeah, so it would be more cost effective to have multiple people covered under one master contract. We do a similar type of thing for disability insurance as well.
Mm-hmm.
We also have what we call survivorship life insurance for people with large estates,
mm-hmm.
where they're concerned about paying a huge estate tax. So survivorship life insurance normally pays on the second person to die, not on the first.
Let me stop for a second and talk about deductions. Am I correct that if you don't deduct the premiums that the business pays for that business life insurance, the proceeds are not taxable, but if you do deduct them, they become taxable?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So you got to be very careful.
The reason I pointed that out, I know a company that got into a bind. They didn't intend to deduct the benefits, but nobody told the accountant not to do it.
Yeah, because you know what they do sometimes? They throw the whole thing under what they call the general category of insurance, which includes property and casualty and automobile.
And the accountant didn't know to break it out, and they had been doing that all those years, thinking that the proceeds were going to be tax deductible and to avoid the tax, and they weren't able to do that because the IRS came in and audited them. How about that?
Huge mistake.
You got to pay attention to folks. That might be the most important thing we've learned today, Rick. Hey, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
Will you come back next month?
I sure will.
We can always count on you, Rick, and we appreciate that. Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I will be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.